And now, Chapter 1. Katie read the letter over. She hadn't forgotten anything. She had told Grandma how much she loved her and how sorry she was that they lived so far from her. She had written about their dog Leaner's newest tricks and described in detail her new yellow dress. She had told Grandma all the news, except that Saul Herman had acted smart again. Why did people have to have such neighbors? Pop had told Katie not to write unpleasant things. They only get bigger and worse, he had said, when you talk about them. Pushing the dark strands of hair out of her face, Katie checked the last page. That was enough for this time. She carefully wrote the date on the upper right corner, June 18, 1933. Then she reached in the desk drawer, found a 3-cent stamp, and pasted it on the envelope. I must hurry and get this letter to the mailbox, she told herself, before the mailman comes. Katie's family was discussing her letters while sitting on the porch one evening. Mom was worried that maybe they were spending too much money on stamps. 3 cents, 4 times a month, was 12 cents, and that was the price of a bushel of wheat sometimes. But we really should write, she said. I know every penny counts nowadays, Pop reassured her as the cool evening breeze picked up. But Katie needs to keep in touch with Grandma. When we looked for a bigger place, we certainly didn't want it to be 95 miles away. But with the difficult financial times we're having now, we couldn't be choosy. I know we needed a bigger place, Mom agreed. We wouldn't have made it where we were. Here the boys have a chance to do some side jobs, and that'll be a help. It's not that I'm dissatisfied here. It's just that we're so far away, if anything should happen. Katie wondered what could happen. She was sure she knew what was wrong with Mom. She was homesick. That's why she seemed troubled. But after almost 3 years, Mom soon should be used to living here. Mom, however, was not homesick. She was thinking of days when she didn't feel well at all. Katie's brother Ike spoke up. I enjoy hearing from grandpa's. Let me pay for some of the postage out of my threshing wages. Ike loved Mom. He often did things to make her happy. Katie watched as Ike stretched out his long legs over the two bottom steps, and her 3-year-old brother Rudy, who was on Ike's lap, slid down to the grass. Rudy bounced back for another ride, giggling as he came. He didn't care how many stamps Katie used. He only wanted to be near his family, especially tall, blonde Ike, whom he adored. I hope paper doesn't cost too much. It will surely take a lot to tell about Saul Herman's proud carrying on, chuckled 14-year-old Levi, as he put his arms around his knees and moved slowly on the porch swing. His dark hair and eyes seemed even darker in the shadows. Levi was like Pop, skinny and wiry, yet not as easygoing as Pop. Levi and Katie were much alike. Pop turned to Levi, shaking his head as he talked. No, son, we won't write all those things about the Hermans. I told Katie to just write the good things that happen, like about her new dress and the new peeps we got. Then he turned to Ike. It's very kind of you to offer part of your wages, but we're not so short that we can't afford stamps. You'll need all the wages you're getting. I remember when I was 18. I wondered how I'd ever get a start. With hard times like now, you must be careful with your money. And so the concern over the stamps was settled. Levi straightened his knees and swung faster. But Pop, why must we always get our kerosene from Saul Herman? Why don't we buy it in town when we go for groceries? I feel sorry for Katie. Now that I'm older and can help with the heavier things, she's the one who has to deal with Saul. I always felt like I was begging when I went up there for kerosene. He is awfully picky, Pop, added Katie. Well, explained Pop, even though most of our groceries are sugar and flour, we can't mix them with kerosene in the car. If we use the car for kerosene, that's the way it will smell. Saul Herman sells it, so we'll just have to walk up there and get it. He sure acts high and mighty about it. If he's such a fine person, why does he refuse to let Anderson Telephone Company cross that tiny corner of his field with their wires so that we could have a telephone? Levi caressed Leaner, who was sharing the porch swing. We sure need one. We're so far from all the neighbors. Pop looked very serious as he answered. Some people are happiest when they think they are more important than others. Saul is like that. He tries to act like a fine person. I can't agree, said Ike. Truly fine people are thoughtful of others. Saul only thinks of himself and his family. It's a pity you can't pick your neighbors when you buy a farm. Saul Herman is rich, Pop explained. He's one of the richest men in this area. His biggest fault is common to many rich people. Everything he has must be better than his neighbor's. Pop paused. But no matter how Saul acts, he said thoughtfully, I want you all to show respect and be polite. Some things we can change, and some we can't. This is one of those. What we can't change, God helps us live with. The clock was striking when he finished talking, and Mom suggested it was time for bed. Katie lay awake a long time after the light was out. She thought of the many times Levi had come home from Herman's, very angry at the way Saul had acted. There seemed to be something for Saul to brag about every time Levi had gone there. Once he'd even made fun of Leaner. He'd asked what kind of dog he was, and said he preferred purebred dogs. You know what to expect from them. The Herman's poodle just sat around doing nothing, while Leaner could race like the wind, jump fences, carry notes on his collar, and do many other tricks. Was Saul jealous because his dog couldn't do tricks? Do grown-ups get jealous? Now it was her turn to deal with Saul. Sleep finally came.